There I was waiting for my daughter to be born years and years and years ago. She was here today, 19 years old. She's the one that drove 8 hours from Nashville back here, got us home 7 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, and here again today. There she is doing all her stuff with a prayer team last night meeting, getting ready to go back to college, living off campus, picking up groceries, working on things, setting up schedules for me to go to, not Nashville, but Las Vegas. It's a great thing at 19 years old, but back then when I was waiting for her, well, listen, my wife and I, we waited 10 years. After surgeries, the doctors told us maybe in a year we had a chance. After that, forget about it. So a year went by, 4 more years went by, 5 years went by. Pretty much everybody they gave up. There was no hope. Yet my wife had the dream, the picture God gave her of a little baby girl. And so there we were waiting, and sure enough, she was pregnant. Little baby growing inside. What an awesome thing as parents are getting ready. Listen, all we knew to do was to create a room, get a crib, get all the stuff, learn what we could, pray over her while she's in the womb. I was there in the delivery room. It had to be C-section because of the physical difficulties my wife had. I watched as they opened up my wife. They actually lift up the kidneys and take them outside and set them next to the body, I guess. They're reaching down in, and eventually they grab hold of a little baby, 9 pounds, 10 ounces, and they pull her out. Well, I found out her. They held her up instantly as I looked, and they took her and, told me it's a girl. I yelled, literally screamed out, man, hallelujah, it's a girl. And they took her to clean her up, do everything, and eventually handed her back to me. I watched as my wife, I'm talking to my wife, I'm watching the doctors put her kidneys back in and getting ready to sew everything up. I'm so excited, and after everything's done and they move you out and they take the baby away to do all the checks and everything. You know what I did? I was told to drive home and get sleep, but I couldn't do it. I went there, turned around, came back. I thought, well, I'll go to McDonald's. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning now. And I drove into McDonald's. I ordered, Egg McMuffin with cheese and coffee. And I was so absolutely fixed on seeing that baby girl that all I remember is getting back to the hospital. I didn't have my coffee. I didn't have the Egg McMuffin. I remembered driving right past the pickup window looking at the woman, and I didn't stop. It was so funny. After the baby is doing okay and wife is okay and they give you everything and you're going to travel back home. And listen, what if I just... we had the baby, and what if my wife and I just left the baby there? 19 years ago, what if we just left the baby there? She had a brain, she had lungs, she had a belly, she had feet, all the fingers, all the toes. Beautiful little baby. Praising God for the power to procreate. But there I was, listen, could you imagine just leaving it behind? Feed yourself, think for yourself, grow for yourself, defend yourself. No love of a mother, no love of the father. No one speaking to her, no one talking to her, no one engaging her. Now, maybe there's some listening right now where, you were born, your parents, you don't know them. Here you are. See, deism is similar to this, the old watchmaker concept. The concept of deism that, there's a God that is out there, but he kind of just made the universe, wound it up and shoved it out there and moved away. He's distant. He's far away. The world is mad and crazy. Here we are in the mix of all of it, but God is light years away. What do we do? Well, this is what tonight is all about. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. On the website, we're touching on the theme this week, exchanging the truth for a lie. Hollow eyes, hollow lives. It involves the strongholds of the mind and the heart. And, you know, I'm reading deists today. I'm reading Hobbes, and I'm reading Paine, and I'm reading others. Founding fathers of the United States and philosophers and many others. And listen, I'm reading their quotes. I'm reading materials about them. I'm reading about who they say they are. And, well, thinking about it, I've come up with four things to share with you today. And you know what? It's very much like many people who are religious. I mean, they're in religious institutions. They are religious. But they've never engaged God. They cannot say, I know God. God is like the man upstairs. He's like the guy way out there somewhere. They can't talk about God. They don't know him. Let me ask you a question tonight, whether you see God as transcendent, way, way, way out there, the man upstairs, or whether there's a personal and incredibly awesome relationship of knowing. You know this voice, obviously, if you've listened to me for months or even as some, a couple years now. There are those that recognize this voice. They've heard it again and again and again and again. But I'm going to tell you what, there's many people in the world all around us. They cannot recognize the voice of God, the hand of God, the presence of God. They have no, listen, knowledge, experiential knowing of God. Now, I was on that fence, that side of the fence years ago. There's that side of the fence, you know, and even though I might have said, well, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, I'm a Buddhist, I'm an occultist, I'm whatever I was in those days, I think more than anything else, kind of a lost seeker, a hedonist lost seeker trying to be spiritual in some way. But for me, it was like deism. I mean, God was way out there somewhere, but I sure did not know God. I mean, I knew that God was right. But I didn't know God. I didn't know how to get to God. Listen, where do you stand with God? Where do you stand? Listen, whether you're New Agers. You know who New Agers are? Millions of New Agers of those who were in institutional churches. I mean, churches where political and philosophical subjects have leaked in. Where biblical reality has been, there's been a, like Boltman, the demythologizer, like Paul Tillich, you know, and many of the other theologians, quote, that didn't even know God, who tried to write about God. It's like if I left my baby back there 19 years ago, never saw her again, how could I talk about her? See, I can tell you 19 years of interaction when she was a baby, when she had no teeth. I can tell you of the times where she laid there on my chest, fell asleep. It was really great, really cool. I loved being a dad. I loved it at the moment that I knew my wife was pregnant. I loved it when the baby was born. I loved it when I looked at that little girl. I loved it as I saw her the day she began to walk. I would hold her sometimes and just look at her. I never talked baby talk. I explained and slowly pronounced words. I know I'm not really good at it. But somehow she picked up at a very, very early stage, beginning to speak. I loved the interaction. I loved the learning of words. You know how it is with children. Nose, and you touch your nose. Eyes, you touch your eye. Ear, you touch your ear. See, I've got a million stories about a relationship with a little baby girl when she was one, when she was two, when she was three, now that she's 19. She's involved in ministry. We were just down there. She was with her grandmother, 78 years old, going blind. Yet I asked my daughter, 19, pray for your grandmother. As we bowed our heads, my daughter began to pray. My daughter knows God. Knows the presence of God, knows the voice of God, walks with God. What can be a greater joy? And yet now at 19, there's so many things she can do. And some things better than I. Let me tell you something. God did not create, wind up the world, and run away. That's a concept unleashed by individuals, number one, that rejected the revelation of God and embraced philosophies, systems, and wanted to live out their own morality. Though there is a sense of piety, morality, a belief in God as a deist. Can a deist pray? There's a lot of people that go to church. You can go to a building, but it doesn't save you. You can be baptized, but it doesn't save you. You can hear the priest, or you can go to Rome and meet the Pope, but it doesn't save you. You can have a mystical religious disposition, but do you know God? As I was saying, that many millions of New Agers, like I was back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a concept of God, but no knowing of God. And so there was an openness to touch anything and everything that spiritually moved, so that we can say, well, I went out of my body. Well, I had this experience. Well, there was a ghost over there. I think I saw a dead person. I see dead people. You know, all those kind of things. It's kind of like a smorgasbord of just experiences, feelings, energies, powers, entities, dreams, supernatural, everything. But some of it was very dangerous, almost took our lives, and none of that led me to know God. I still didn't know God. New Agers, after 35 of interaction, I've never met a New Ager that says, I know God. Let me talk about God. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Christ. Listen, take a few moments. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Want to say welcome to everyone listening all over. And those of you that download, thousands of you that download later on, we're glad that you do. We're glad that you're a part. I get emails of individuals, professors that listen and download, for artists that are painting and listening. Well, welcome. A friend that showed up from Pennsylvania that owns a computer shop says that he turns it on and he lets things play all day long. I don't know. Maybe you get tired of this voice. I don't get tired of talking about God. Listen, I can say that I'm going to talk about God because I know God. I understand John 3:16 and John 3:17. You ever read John 3:17? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. See, the perspective I have when it comes to anybody around us, listen, we either know God or we don't. And if we don't, where are we? What is the problem? What is the angle? Is it hedonism, deism, atheism? Are we an agnostic? Are we a New Ager? Is it Spiritism? Is it Satanism? Is it Druidism? What is it? Ultimately, in all of this, I can tell you one thing for sure. God is knowable. God seeks us. And anyone listening to my voice right now, I'm telling you out of my experience, and I will tell you out of biblical revelation, not only is God knowable, but God seeks every single human being to bring them back into relationship. Personal, relational, knowable, able to grow deep and deeper in that relationship. And one day, when the physics of God are expressed and indestructible immortality is acquired because of the gift of God, then we will see God. Oh, you can read about it at the end of the book of Revelation. You can see God face to face. Now, wherever you're at right now, and I'm one that knows by experience the providence of God, how supernaturally God sets things up. Someone listening today, or maybe getting one of the pieces of the archives, or somebody sent you this as an MP3 or downloaded it, made a CD. Listen, it may be that this is clearly by the hand of God brought to you. Can't tell you how many times individuals have written and said things like that. You see, there's something more than just the voice you're listening to. You know that. Even those of you on the other side of the fence, Luciferic, I mean, literally, you know you are. You're involved with dark powers. You know there's another presence involved here. I don't think I would be here otherwise. Sure, I can go on and make a sports talk show. I can talk about Brett Favre. But I don't want to. I don't feel compelled to. In the world that you and I live in right now, in the crucial events of this day and hour, again, knowing God, knowing God's expressed passionate will, His passionate desire to come into relationship and not even lose one human being, not one. Oh, if you only knew the desire of God, the will of God, the expressed emotional and passion of God. But that does come from knowing. That's why when I'm reading the deists, even Thomas Hobbes, even reading about someone that believes that there's a God and argues using the cosmological argument, you know, by creation, which is a right argument. As a matter of fact, we've been talking about Romans chapter 1. The title of the series this week is Exchanging the Truth for a Lie. Well, it ends up with Hollow Eyes, Hollow Lives. I'll be explaining that along the way this week. And I want to say right now, that's exactly what the Spirit of God painted the picture of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. Not only was there this reality of God based on creation that is speaking, that is witnessing to God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, being clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Well, mankind, you and I, we are without excuse. Now, we may use excuses, like in this hour, we can talk about deists that did. In the 7 to 8 o'clock hour, when I'm the guest host tonight, I'll be talking about Nietzsche, Friedrich Nietzsche, and the philosophy that he had. And listen, it's very hard when you're reading individuals that are, well, philosophical, political, they've read much, they've written much, they've, you know, experienced life in a fallen world, but they don't know God, and so they try to talk about God. What comes out is, an extremely limited perspective. Let me say this. Deism is an extremely limited perspective. That God is that all there is? We're just left here. Listen, deism, though it's really not popular, there's websites, there's stuff, there's people that are deists today. But really, there are functional deists listening to me right now. God's out there somewhere. He's the big man up there in the sky, but you don't know him. I mean, religious people, people that are religious, they can go to church, light a candle 7 days a week. They can have an emotional, sentimental connection with God. But when you ask them, do you know God? Their answer is no. Do you know how to get to God? Their answer is no. Do you know how to pray with power? Their answer is no. Do you feel God? The answer is, well, no. And that's what we want to tackle tonight. In a fallen world where there's a dark side presence that does seek to keep individuals from God, whether by giving alternatives, the supernatural alternatives, or by bringing such crazy madness to people's lives that they are hurt, they are beat up, they are tired, and they've been limited in their information about God, so they don't know much. They could just simply say, well, there's the man upstairs. So tonight, as we go over the second part of this week, deism versus the God who is here and awesomely active. See, I've been in interaction today, praying today, been working over a new series on becoming powerful in prayer. That's up on the website. It begins this week. time to worship today, take a worship song, and just be embraced by God. See, I could sit here and say, man, God's good. Even though I got a leg that is bad, that limping on it, I went to the woods for 5 miles trying to push myself a little bit. But back there is where I love to talk to God. There's times that I'm praying and talking to God about the live radio show that's going to come up later on the day. It's where I sometimes pray for individuals. Pray about events. So while I was out there in the woods today, creation, boy, to me, is just screaming. God is. God is awesome. He's the architect. He's infinite. He's beyond all of creation. He's what made it all. God is brilliant. Take a look at a leaf off a tree. Take a look at the chipmunk that runs across, the creek that you hear, the deer that run through. The variety of trees and the pines out there. Sometimes I just stop to smell the pine. All of it is the beauty of what God has made, and all of that which God has made points back to the God who made. As a matter of fact, the scriptures teach that creation is sentient and is aware not only of God, but expresses the glory of God by creation's existence. So exchanging the truth for a lie, you know what that's all about? Romans chapter 1. When I read verse 21, it says this, again, the Spirit of God's painting a panoramic view of humanity as a whole. The history of fallen humanity, here's what it says, for although they knew God, they had a knowledge of God, they neither glorified him as God. And that's the trouble with the deist. That's the trouble with somebody that says, well, I believe there's a man upstairs. I believe God's out there somewhere, but I'm living my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. And in doing that, a person doesn't yield to God, doesn't hear the call to come back to God. They're ignoring God. It says they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise. And listen, if you look at the deists, when you look at Thomas Paine, you look at Franklin, if you look at Hobbes, if you look at so many of the deists, I mean, writers, political, John Locke, and you can take a look at Matthew Tyndall, and just on and on and on. Founders of the United States of America, so many of them deists. Oh, they believe God existed, and they believe that we should somehow pay homage to God, live pious. But again, just on a shred of the real revelation of God. It's just like taking a little aspect, a little spoon of God, and that's all. And if that's all they have of God and believe that God is good and God is there, but God is out there somewhere, why wouldn't you want to take all of the revelation? Because the God who is there is the God who wants you. The God who is there. Listen, you might be married. You might be in a relationship. You might be a son or daughter that has parents that love you. You might be a son or daughter that loves your parents. You might have friends that love you and care about you. Let me tell you something. By experience, there's nobody that loves me more than God. Nobody that wanted me more than God. Nobody that wanted me. You know how much I wanted my baby daughter? They told me to go home and stay home and take a shower, do all that kind of stuff, and get sleep. I went home, took a shower, turned around. I couldn't do it. I had to come back. I had to get to that daughter. I got to get to that little baby girl that I waited so long for. I look at her face, and I kind of see myself in a way. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. And I wanted her. I wanted her all along. Man, when she turned 16 and driving a car, I didn't want her to drive out there. 17, 18, she's going to move up to the college campus, going to move out of the house. I didn't want her to. I told her before, I wish I could just shrink you and make you 5 again. Just hang out with me. I can drive you around, take care of you at 5 years old. She was fun when she was 2, fun when she was 5, fun when she was 8, fun now that she's 19. There'll be a day, if there's time, that she will get married. I've told her all along, I want 4 grandchildren. I want 4. Who knows what the near future holds? I will say this. I'm a dad. I'm a father. And I know what it is after 19 years to never sit down and plot evil, to never run away from my daughter, to truly put my life there and say, if it came down to it, I will fight to the death to protect this daughter. I love this daughter. I will guide this daughter. I will lead this daughter to my God that loves her. You see, this is part of knowing God the Father. In talking to my siblings down in Nashville about our own dad that was, when we were raised, it was just yelling, screaming, cussing. We were hunkies, and my dad went to the Croatian club and got drunk every week, and nobody really knew God, and it was just, we loved each other, but we fought each other, and dad fought, and we, you know, all these crazy things about being raised in a very tough life. And a dad that did not know God and did not really know how to be a dad and was very damaging to all of his kids. All of them say that. I mean, we talked about the good things, but we also talked about the damage. And I remember telling in front of my sister and other brother there, 2 of the siblings that I have, I said, you know, when Christ came into my life, when God came into my life, at that moment, from that moment on, I was utterly shielded in my concept of fatherhood. I understood what God the Father is like, even though my dad wasn't like that. I was able for 23 years to love my dad, go after my dad, try to reach my dad, watch my dad give his life to alcoholism, to depression, to psych wards, to giving up, to attempted suicides, living vain, living angry, cussing God out, arrogant. I watched him. Maybe someone out there is living that arrogant, empty, angry, cynical life. My dad, you know what he used to say? About God, oh, the man upstairs, me and him, we've got a thing worked. I've got a deal worked out with God. He didn't call him God. He called him the man upstairs. He didn't know. He didn't know the man upstairs. He didn't know God. There was no deal other than his own. You know what happened? After 23 years of praying for him, 23 years of attempting, 23 years later, when he's on a breathing oxygen tank, you know, I mean, he's carrying it around with him walking. We go to the restaurants, you know, I go to his house out there in California, and as I sit down with him, I finally look at him and I say, Dad, you're 70 years old, and you've never even heard one verse of Scripture. Not one Bible verse. Let me read you one. He didn't want to hear even one. He didn't even want to hear one, even though I've witnessed to him and shared with him and talked to him again and again and again, even though I prayed and never gave up because I knew that God was passionate about forgiving my dad. I knew that God wanted to save my dad. God wanted to change my dad. My dad, the deist, but the angry, the mad deist, the arrogant deist. I think that's what a deist becomes, arrogant, cynical, down the road. I really do. There's times that I think rock singer Ozzy Osbourne is like a deist. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Let me tell you about my dad here in just a moment. Let me tell you real quick the updates. If you're new to The Voice, we want to welcome you. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. When you go to the site, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, you will notice a ton of things, so take your time. Go down the middle column if you want. You'll see the title for this week, Exchanging the Truth for a Lie, Hollow Eyes, Hollow Lives. There's a little book that I put there that I've read a few times, The Universe Next Door. You can get a copy for about $1 nowadays. It's a great little companion for believers in Christ. Throughout this week and twice today, we'll be doing this one-hour session. We also do this on the weekends. And we've just put up another session, session number 10, on the series Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. It's about the final ritual that brings Armageddon. For those interested in conspiracy and the end times issues, for those who are military and especially, you know, military weapons developers, this is a 1 hour out of the session, absolutely vital, that I would encourage you and invite you to listen to it. It's simply called Final Ritual Brings Armageddon. And that's up on the site. It's on the series. There's also free courses, materials. And let me mention now, there's a few that you that written to me that some of the course materials, something has happened. We're going to fix some broken links and we'll take care of that. But I want you to know that we're putting up more and more and more every single week. That as much as I love to be here and interact and know that God is interacting with you as he's interacting with me right here, that we have conferences. We've done three this year. We're getting ready to go to Las Vegas, Nevada, August 27th, 28th. As the days of Noah were, this is a end times type conference. And you can click on the picture there or go down a little bit and see where it talks about the Omega Hour conference. And click it on and see the speakers. We will see Lynn Marzulli there that we just did an interview with last night. Or Sunday night, rather. And we have that interview up also, by the way. We had trouble that night because of some that were coming to cause trouble. But the interview from Sunday night is clearly up, and there's some major spiritual warfare type interaction. But there's a second conference also, October 1st and 2nd. It's called the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference in Canton, Ohio. And you can click on where it talks about it. And that's Canton, Ohio, 2 days. I'd love to see you either at Las Vegas, August 27th, 28th, or Canton, Ohio. Tom Horn is going to be here in Canton, Ohio, first and second. And Derek and Sharon Gilbert will be here. Also, Jeffrey Ratt from the lookupfellowship.com. So take a look at the materials. If you're interested in conferences where you get to meet folks and have the impact of the information and really a divine appointment, then we hope that you'll come. Now, we've just gotten an invitation yesterday about the possibility of a conference mid-September in Canada. As soon as we get the details, we will tell you about that. The West Coast Conference one has been put off for a later time. So we hope to see others develop. Now, there are those that want us to come to the Netherlands and Europe. We are truly planning on it. There has been an invite in Australia. Right now, I don't think we can take off. But depending on the dates, when and where, we'd love to come where you're at. Nevertheless, here we are with you. Here we are with those who download later. And though you might download a half year later, please understand the God that we talk about will be there speaking to your life. Tonight, exchanging the truth for a lie, that's found in Romans chapter 1. Where it talks about in verse 25, rather, that they, referring to us, the fallen world, that would include Thomas Paine and Hobbes and Franklin and so many others that were deists. The writers. Those that were trying to explain, well, God's out there, but he's not personal. God's out there, but you can't pray. He doesn't interact. He doesn't, you know, you can pray, but it doesn't do anything. I remember a psychologist telling a student not too long ago that prayer is a good psychological exercise, but it doesn't go anywhere. There's no one listening. But like calling somebody and talking, and there's nobody there. That's how my dad was. God is out there, but you can't really talk to God. You don't know God. I mean, God is out there somewhere. You can ask somebody that claims to know God that might be in touch with God somehow. Hey, pray for me since you're in touch with God. But there my dad was, 70 years old, knowing that he had the sentence of death, emphysema, asbestos poisoning on the breathing tubes, you know, around his face. And I said, Dad, you've never, like the deists, it seems as though they can go to the Bible as one did, cut out all the miracles, cut out all the supernatural aspects, and just say, I want the moral, I want the moral thing, as if that was a high thing to do. It was almost as though some deists stood arrogantly in prestige as they said, well, God is out there, but God is not knowable. That's why we included in the series this week the concept of hollow eyes and hollow lives. And I look at the deists and read the deists, and they could talk about politics, talk about America, talk about Europe, talk about the Renaissance, talk about a lot of things. And even mention God and piety, but go no further. No experience, no joy, no awesomeness. So if you're listening tonight, though you may not know a lot about deism as a whole, you might be a functional deist. Someone that said, hey, God is out there. I don't know how to know him. I didn't know you could know him. And here we are living this life. It reminds me again of the book of Ecclesiastes. And I would encourage you to read the book of Ecclesiastes this week, because at times the writer that wants to experience everything, all the philosophy, all the education, all the books, all the wealth, all the experiences of life, but he constantly is saying that it's vanity, it's meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now he says that it's meaningless and empty when he says, under the sun. When you read Ecclesiastes, notice that he says again and again, under the sun, on this side, down here. God's out there up in heaven. He's out there transcendent, but under the sun, down here where we are, all this life, all this jumble is a vanity, chasing after the wind. And that's what's being expressed by the deist. It's really sad that some people can be religious, can go to services, can go to an institution, can light a candle. They can listen to religious music and to a homily. They can feel religious in the building because the building has architecture and maybe statues that somehow represent something about God. But to so many millions like that around the world, God is not yet known in their life. And that's what religion does. It can mention God. I mean, deism was in a sense religion, mentions God, acknowledges God as creator, and stops, and then spews forth an exchange for truth, a bunch of lies. God is impersonal. You can't know God. And prayer, God doesn't reach in and act. So why pray? You see, the deist, like the religionist of today, like an individual, it could be a grandmother, it could be an aunt, it can be a student at a college, it could be a priest in the Vatican listening right now. And all of the religious accoutrements, ambiance, makes you feel religious. God is sentimental to you, but do you know God? It's all about knowing God. Let me give you four things about deism and the functional deism of religion, claiming a sense of God but denying the power. See, deism had the idea of reason over God, so they were exchanging the lie for the truth. And they couldn't talk about the glories of God. Couldn't express. They couldn't. Listen, you've heard me talk about my daughter. I think anybody who's ever heard me talk about my daughter hears a story of a man, just a man, just a dad, that is filled with gratitude. If I could have, we would have had 10 children. My wife was physically able only to have one. Now, we've had other children off the streets, unwed mothers and their babies. Young people live with us for years and years and years. We love them all. But when you hear me talk about my daughter, when I see my daughter, there is great joy. And I am nothing more than a sinner forgiven, just a man. I can relate to the words of Jesus when he says, in talking about prayer, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, and the door will be opened. That's something that Thomas Paine and Benjamin Franklin, and that's something that Hobbes, they couldn't talk about. Jesus did. They didn't talk about Jesus. Jesus is the gateway to God, the doorway to God, God in human flesh, that leads us to personal relationship with God. That's what Jesus is all about. If you're going to talk about Christ, if you're going to talk about Jesus in the world, if you're going to talk about his miracles, raising the dead, walking on the water, going to the cross, all of it was about God pursuing us, we who did not know God, we who went astray, we who lost the relationship. That's why Jesus said, I've come, listen, this involves you. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Those are the words of Jesu Christu. Those are the words of the Logos, God, the eternal God, coming into human flesh. The sheer fact of the incarnation. Well, the deists all reason over religion or reason over revelation. No, you're exchanging truth for a lie. Where did the lie take you? Where did the lie guide you? Lies do not take you to God. Lies do not take you to relationship with God. Lies. Lies, whether it's the alternative spirituality, alternative philosophical systems, lies are always meant to be the reversal of truth. The shading of the truth. You see, the truth is, deists exchanged. That's the will, man. That's the heart. Individuals that were, presumptuous. They were pompous. They were arrogant. They believed they were to be men of prestige and live a certain way. Gentlemen, that kind of thing. You might think that going to church and being religious and lighting a candle, all of that is sentimental and good. Okay. But do you know God? See, in your heart, like my father, you can exchange truth and make up your own way. How's that going for you? You can exchange. Here's the truth. God loves you. We're meant to know God. We're meant to be spiritual beings knowing God in a personal way. We're meant to be awed by God. We're meant to be in relationship to God. It is possible to know God, to know his voice, and one day in the glorification to see God face to face. Instead of exchanging truth, see, that's what the truth says. That's what the prophets said. That's what the apostles said. That's what the angels of God said. That's what the demons tried to obscure. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. When I sat on that couch with my dad, saying you're 70 years old and you don't even know one verse of Scripture. See, I know that there's life, there's power, there's presence, there's revelation, truth in the Scripture. Finally, as he allowed me to quote one verse, and he began to think about it, it was as if an iceberg cracked. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. God gave us a door. Not a physical door, not a door of physics, not a door of, a labyrinth of a way that we had to figure out. Christ, God in personal human flesh, became the door. Anybody reading John's Gospel, chapter 17, can read about how Jesus says that in relationship to us, those of us who are believers in Christ, he said that I myself may be in them. What happened to me 36 years ago was that in hearing the truth that God wanted to enter into my life, God wanted to enter into my life, that there was a way because Christ on the cross, what he did there by shedding his blood, dying, rising from the dead, blasted apart death, blasted apart sin. He broke the barriers, man. He created the access that brings us into instantaneous relationship with God and brings us the gift of knowing God, God's literal living presence inside of us, and the deposit of what is to come. See, I sit here, I already know I'm going to see God. I've contemplated it before. I know God. I've watched God. Like my daughter, I can talk about my daughter. I can show pictures. I can talk about funny things and vacations and all the things my daughter and I have done over all these years. First time she rode in the back of my big old 1500cc motorcycle. I could talk about all the first time we began to let her drive, and I'm in the passenger side letting her drive. First time she had a boyfriend going out on a date. I can talk about God because God came into, Jesus Christ came into my life. Can I ask you something? Are you religious or do you know Christ? Are you mystical, religious, because you go to a church building? Or does the living Christ dwell inside of you? See, the deist, like many modern day individuals that say God is there, but they don't know him. Number one, it's because of the misconception. The deists rejected the revelation of God, how to know God, more information about God. I mean, God wrote a letter, man. God wrote a letter. It's the Bible. It's live. It's living. But once you exchange it, once you get rid of it for mankind's reason, for other philosophies, for deism, existentialism, nihilism, supernaturalism, question still is, do you know God? See, the deist, like the modern day religious, sentimental mystic, can say God is up there, but cannot say I know God. Number two, the deist, like the modern day religionist, doesn't know how to get to God. If there was a stairway, they don't know where it's at. Possibly they would have gone up a stairway and told other people about it, but they didn't look for it, didn't accept it, didn't go up the stairs, don't know. So they have nothing to say. And so when you don't know God, if I didn't know my little baby girl, if I left her at the hospital 19 years ago, what could I say about her today? I can say she existed 19 years ago out there somewhere. Somebody's got her. Maybe she's, I don't have any idea. 40 years ago, I couldn't tell you I know God. 40 years ago, I wouldn't have been interested in talking about it. 40 years ago, there was no personal relationship. Where are you at? Where are you when it comes to, listen, a relationship? Because what it's coming down to is this. We either embrace truth and can experience truth. God did not send Christ into the world to condemn us, but to save us. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the mission of the church is all about. I've had the privilege over the years to lead thousands of people into a personal relationship with Christ. It's the centrality of all the broadcasts that we do, whatever the subject. I don't care if we talk about black holes, dark matter, physics. It doesn't make any difference what we talk about. To me, there is a singularity. Infinite, incredible and awesome, and knowable. See, I know God. I feel God. I know His voice in my life. I have a history. I know what it is to pray and see answers. The deist is sad, man. It's sad. Sometimes I look at Ozzy Osbourne and I watched some of the shows years ago and used to listen to him in the late 60s and so forth and knew all the stuff. And always liked his voice. Have always prayed for him since 1975 when I got saved. I see all the, you know, cross that he wears and crosses in his house and the talk about God on, you know, Master of Reality and the other albums that he has out there, now CDs. You know, I could talk about 8-tracks too. But as I looked at all the lyrics over all the years, there is an emotional, sentimental connection to God, but almost in the deist sense. A deist, like a religionist that doesn't really know God, cannot help you. They can't even help themselves. See, once we listen to God, there's a verse out of the book of Acts. Have you heard about it? When Paul is speaking to the Epicurean philosophers, the Stoic philosophers, all of these Greeks that are all into information, 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 you know? Knowledge. And so as he speaks, first they're calling him a babbler, but he's telling them about the God of creation, and he makes a beeline all the way down to Christ, and then he says, but now God summons all people everywhere to repent, metanoia, to change, to turn around. You see, you can be out there right now sentimental about God, well, maybe even angry about God. In your mind, God is out there somewhere. But you've embraced or you've grabbed or you exchanged the truth for a lie. And I'm going to tell you right now a secret about the lie. No lie can lead you to God. Not one lie in the New Age system, in deism, pantheism, hedonism, existentialism, nihilism, all the other isms. A lie cannot reveal God. A lie cannot lead you to God. And if in your heart a lie dwells, and if you've embraced the lie, there you are. Hollow eyes, hollow lives, empty spirit, dead to God. Yet I'm telling you, and in this providential moment you're listening, because there's a sweet, awesome, incredible love, God, that pursues you, desires you, provided at the cross the way of breaking all the barriers and opening the door. Jesus said it this way, John's Gospel, chapter 7. Go there. If you don't know God, go to the Gospel of John. Read it all. But read John chapter 7. Here's God in human flesh giving an invitation at a religious festival where people were religious, but they didn't know God. People were talking about God, but they didn't know Him. And they had false concepts about God. They didn't experience God. That's the third point. The deist not only doesn't know God and has misconceptions about God, but number two, doesn't know how to get there. And number three, doesn't experience anything about God. Number four, they can't pray. They really can't pray. A deist can't. You know, maybe you're out there right now wishing somebody would pray for you. I pray that God would reveal himself in grace and mercy and beauty to you, that you will look at John's Gospel chapter 7 and see that God is saying, listen, I tell you the truth. Anyone that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being, God the Holy Spirit would come into your life. Right now, whenever you listen to this, wherever you're at, right now, as I did 36 years ago in my basement, I said, Jesus, I don't know anything. I don't really know anything. I only know that they've told me that you're there. I believe you are, that you died for me. You rose for me. You come for me. You want me, that you want to come into my life with your power and your life. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Give me your power. I accept you as Lord and Savior and God. That's what I did 36 years ago in a basement after a party where I ran from a man that was trying to tell me about Christ. That's the night God entered into my life. It's the story of Nicodemus. You ever read it, John 3? Nicodemus, the big religious guy, the guy that knows religion, comes to Jesus, comes to God in human flesh. This big discussion goes on. Jesus said, hey, listen, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you can't enter in unless you are born from above, born again. That means when the Spirit of God and of life comes back inside of you. So to the listener today, in a very specific sense, I can tell you that God pursues you, God desires you, God provided at the cross the way of forgiveness, breaking the barriers, a way that God himself can come back into your life. God's knocking at the door, truly is. Nicodemus, like many of the deists, had God talk, but couldn't talk about God. Do you know God? Do you know God? That's all we're saying. If you're a believer in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can know God even deeper. You can grow in your relationship. Listen, I invite anyone listening, pray out right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life. God, come into my life. Jesus, I trust in you as Savior and Lord. I accept you. Write to me. I'd like to help you. I'd like to know about it. We're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in your support. And listen, we'll be on in a few minutes, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Survive the Thrive, the radio network. May God's love and grace be with you. Good night.